This is a little song. It's not hard to learn, and I know y'all can do it. If I can do it, I know y'all can do it. Okay, and it goes like this. I love him better every day. I love him better every day. Close by his side, I will abide. I love him better every day. Did y'all get that now? That's not hard. So let's all sing it like we mean it, okay? I love him better every day. I love him better every day. Close by his side, I will abide. I love him better every day. Now we're going to sing it a different way this time. I know y'all are good spellers. So y'all follow me as we spell these words, okay? I have some teachers and I have to be careful. I love him better every day. I love him better every day. Close by his side, I will abide. I love him better every day. I'll give y'all 100, man. Y'all did good today. Well, it's good to be in the house of the Lord that we can come and worship him, read his word, and what a privilege we have. And I'd like for you to turn in your Bibles to Psalm 145, a great psalm. It's a psalm of David. Remember, David was a man after God's own heart. He was a shepherd, and the Lord spoke to him and called him to be a king and a leader of his nation. And this psalm is about his praise to the Lord for who he is. In this psalm, you're going to find here in this psalm several attributes of God. Now, what is attribute? Anybody know what an attribute is? Your characteristic of a person. Everybody has different characteristics. David's going to write about God and his characteristic and what he meant to him. And this psalm, not only a psalm of praise only, but is praise of what the Lord's done in David's life as well. You know, isn't it wonderful how the Lord can do a work in a person's life? You know that? It's just wonderful. See the transformation in a person's life when they ask Christ to be their Savior. I had an opportunity to lead one of our men with hospice. He fell and had a brain bleed. He had a stroke, and he could hardly whisper, just barely whisper. I had to get down right by him. But through it all, he came to know the Lord, but his outlook on life is so much different than now. And it does make a different outlook in your life. But we want to look at this psalm, and we're going to look at these attributes as well, and see if you can pick them out as we go through them. But I'll give them to you and see what you think about it. But in verse 1, it says, I will extol thee, O God, O King. I will bless thy name forever and ever. And one thing about David, he realized who the real king was, and that was God himself. And, you know, the thing about our life a lot of times, that old self is on the throne till Jesus comes in the heart and changes the heart. And then he's on the throne of our life. And I'm glad that he's the king of our life. And I like some of those songs, King of My Life. I like that song. But it says here, I will bless thy name. And his name is the only one we can bless, isn't it? And his name is above every name, it says in God's word. And one day it says, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord of Lords and King of Kings. But look at verse 2. In verse 2 it says this, every day I will bless thee. And boy, that should be a praise for all of us. We should bless the Lord every day. And then it says, I will praise thy name forever and ever. You know, we're not going to just praise him here on earth, but we're going to praise him for all eternity. And that's part of our worship is praising the name of the Lord. We're going to be serving him in heaven. And then, now, why does he praise the name of the Lord? And he's going to share with us some things why we should praise the name of the Lord. And the first one is, look at verse 3. He says in verse 3, great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. You can't measure it. You can't measure the greatness of the Lord. We could go through the whole Bible here this morning and see the greatness of the Lord himself. And he did it all, didn't he? He did everything. But we see David, he sees this in here. I was thinking about Psalm 103. It says, oh, bless the Lord, O my soul. And then it says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Then he lists a whole bunch of lists of benefits we have in Psalm 103. And first one, that we're redeemed, we're forgiven of our sins. And that is a wonderful joy to know that we're forgiven by him. And then he says here in this next verse 4, it says, one generation shall praise thy name to another and shall declare the mighty acts. And then he says in verse 5, I will speak of the glorious honor of thy majesty and of all thy wonders. And then you go down to verse 7. It says, they shall abundantly utter the memory of the great goodness and shall sing of thy righteousness. And here's the second attribute. Now the Lord is great. He's all-powerful, all-knowing. But we see in verse 8, he says, the Lord is what? Gracious and full of compassion. You know, we don't deserve that compassion. You know that? But it's there for us to receive it. And it says his compassion faileth not here in God. But he said, slow to anger and of great mercy. And aren't we thankful for the grace of God that we don't deserve it, but he gives it to us, his grace and his compassion. And how did he prove that love, that compassion? How did he prove it? Huh?
He died.
Yeah, he died on the cross for us. That's how he proved it. And I like that verse. We all know this verse. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believe in him should not perish, but have what? Everlasting life. And that's a wonderful promise we have from the Lord. That the Lord is gracious, full of compassion, slow to anger, and great mercy. And here's verse 9. Look at verse 9. The Lord is good. To who? To all of us. Well, we don't know how blessed we really are, do we? I'm a hospice chaplain. I go and visit people every day of the week except for Tuesdays and Wednesdays. But when I go in there, I'm so grateful when I come out. I mean, I have some even younger than I am and some younger than you are. But we're so blessed. I tell you, we're so blessed. We really are. But I like that verse, that the Lord is good to all and his tender mercy over all his works. You know, this work here that the Lord has established, it's his work. You know, it's not anybody else's work but the Lord's work. And we got to remember who we serve. We're serving the Lord Jesus, and he wants us to be used by God. You're a lighthouse in this community, right here in this community. You're a lighthouse in this community. And we need to reflect that light outside the walls of this church right here. And the Lord wants us to really know that. But it says also, it says in verse 10, and all thy works shall praise thee, O Lord, and thy saint shall bless thee. You know, it's only the saints can bless the Lord. You know, praise the Lord. He could have the rocks, the wind, the birds, and all that praise the Lord. But he desires out of us more than anybody to praise his name. Let me ask you, when was the last time you said, thank you, Lord, I thank you for my salvation. I thank you for using me today, wherever I might be. Every day we can be used by the Lord, and how the Lord uses people to reach people. He don't use the wind or the birds, anything like that. He uses people to reach people. And you never know who you might go and touch somebody for the Lord. You know that? You just never know how you... I think of his Sunday school teacher, D.L. Moody. His Sunday school teacher was so concerned about D.L. Moody that he was a shoe salesman, and he went back in the back room where he was and led D.L. Moody to the Lord right there on a little bench in the back room. And how the Lord used D.L. Moody. God used him mightily. So you never know who you might touch for the Lord. And sometimes you might not even know you even touched somebody for the Lord. Maybe when you get to heaven, you're going to see it all, you know, what the Lord did in that person's life. And I know I visit people in the hospital all over different Mobile, Pennsylvania, and you never will know the result of your visit. You never will. And one person of mine went to this church, and this man, I witnessed to him. He never that I knew of. They never asked Christ to be a Savior. And he said, "I want to tell you, Brother Ron, this person told me after you left and went to Montgomery, he said that he got saved." And so we plant and we water, but God brings the increase. And I thank the Lord. It's the Lord that does it, not us, you know. And that's a great promise we have. But let's continue on. The saints going to bless the Lord. And then he says, they shall speak of the glory of the kingdom and talk of his power. Boy, there's no limitation with God. It is no limitation whatsoever. And the power that God has. I remember going to the Ukraine and going on that plane. And man, I just had to step out in faith and believe God was going to take care of me. He did. But God uses in Singapore to share the gospel with so many people in villages that never heard the gospel before in their life. And in that one little village, when you preach in the Ukraine, it's not just one pastor preaches. It's about five preaches. So they're hungry for God. They're hungry for the Lord. And when they preach, they just sit there and soak it all in. But we shared the gospel with these people, and that day, 12 people came to know the Lord. And a little lady told me, he said, "You know, I have been praying that the Lord will get a church in this village for us." Because you've been traveling like 25 miles. In the wintertime, they don't have snow plows there, I guarantee you. You're on your own. But she said, "Now I see we have a church in our own village." And they started out with 12 people. 12 people. And they're still going on there in the Ukraine. It's just a blessing. Powerful, isn't he? And I'm glad that he is all powerful, and he does the work that we can't do. That's one thing. We are the tools. We sow the seed, we water it and plant it, but God, he always brings the increase. That's how powerful he is. And that John Newton, you think about his life. He was a slave trader. He treated his slaves terrible. He was a wicked man. And he heard the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. He got saved. And the Lord turned his life around. Not only that, he wrote that song about himself, but you know the Lord called him into the ministry to be a pastor? God used that man to be a pastor of a church. And God can take anybody and turn them completely around. And it is amazing grace. It really is. But we have a wonderful kingdom. Look at verse 13 is the kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. It's not just a temporary kingdom, but it says an everlasting kingdom, and thy dominion endureth throughout all generation. And what a blessing that is. Now, here's another thing, verse 14. We serve a God that is eternal, and we're going to have eternal life. We have it right now, and we're going to enjoy Jesus all our life. And look what he says here in the next verse. The Lord upholds all that fall and raises up all those that be bowed down. And you know, here I'm thankful to the Lord that can pull us out of the mire clay and put our feet upon the rock of the Lord Jesus. And I'm just grateful today that he knows when we mess up, he's there to pull us, draw us back, and thank the Lord that the Holy Spirit does a lot of things in our life as a child of God. What is it? He convicts, he convinces, and he converts people that doesn't know the Lord as a Savior. And he convicts us when we do things wrong. And also he convicts us a lot of times when we walk by somebody, "Oh, I should have talked to that. I should have handed that person a tract. The Lord just, he told me to do it and I didn't do it." And sometimes we miss opportunities, don't we? We feel bad about it and we just say, "Lord, forgive me. Give you another opportunity." And we can feel bad not taking the opportunities that we have. And the Lord always gives you opportunities. He really does in so many different ways. But we see the Lord upholdeth all of us. Isn't that great? He's always there to encourage us, to press us on for the Lord Jesus Christ. And then he says here, "Now the Lord upholdeth us." But he says, "The eyes of all that wait upon thee, thou givest their meat in due season." You know, we don't like to wait too much, do we? We like things done right away, don't we? Like y'all waiting on the pastor. And the thing about You're waiting. You're praying and trusting God to bring the man that he wants and not what you want. It's so easy. This guy, this got to be the guy, you know. But it might not be the guy that the Lord wants you to have. But he says in Psalm 32:8, he says, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way thou shalt go. I will guide thee with what? My eye. What are you talking about? You got to get in the book, don't we? You got to get in the book. And he does guide and direct our steps as he wants. But we got to wait. And then he says that he's going to supply your needs. We all know this verse over in Philippians. It says, my God shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. He's always to supply. He's there. And how he blesses in so many different ways. But we see another thing that's so important. We see not only the Lord is great, he's all-powerful, he's gracious, he's compassionate. See all these attributes he's given to you this morning? Who God is really like, what he's really like. And he's good. Boy, how good he is to us, you know. We've just had some friends, a friend of ours we've been knowing, he was in our church, we were in our pastor there. He's younger than me. He's about around 60. He got COVID, and he just passed away just the other day. And you don't know how good the Lord is. He's just so good. He's so gracious. But here's another attribute that he is going to give you in verse 17. Look at verse 17. The Lord is what? He is righteous in all his ways and holy in all his works. And what does he want us to do? All right. It says here in God's word that he is righteous. And you know what? He produces righteousness in us. We don't have any righteousness in ourselves because all our righteousness is filthy rags, isn't it? But he gives you his righteousness. Isn't it wonderful to know that? And it says in Peter, be ye holy for I am holy. What does that really mean? Go around with the Bible and walking down the street and say, I'm a holy person? No, that's not what it is. What he's saying, that he wants you to be separated from this old sinful world, the habits of this world that we live in, and desires of this world. And he wants us to be holy, to be separated from this old world that we're in. Why does he want us to be that way? Why do you think he would want us to be holy, be separated from this old world? Why do you think?
You can't serve two guys.
There you go. You said a mouthful there. Yep, that's a good one. Mm-hmm. Anybody else? Why should we be like? Why does he want us to be holy, separated unto the Lord? And somebody said something. It's y'all's turn over here. Okay, somebody got to speak up. Don't be shy. One thing is that God can use us, can't he? He can't use an unclean vessel. If we're doing things we shouldn't be doing, God can't use us, you know, the way he wants to. And he wants to. And that's why we need to get in the book, you know, the book, the Word of God. The Word of God cleanses us of our habits and sin and the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. But he is righteous in all his ways and holy in all his work.
I don't like these verses. Every one of these verses that the Lord
is great. He's all that, isn't he? He feels every attribute that we see in him right there. He feels it all. And then he says in verse 18, it says, the Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon him, to all that call upon him in truth. You know, when we have our prayer time, one thing, why we need to pray, because we need the Lord. We need the Lord to work in our lives. And I've heard old Peter Donnick, and I might have quoted this the last time I was here, but I like his quote, much prayer, much power, a little prayer, a little power. And how true that is. But it's time, when you pray, you say, Lord, I need you to intervene in my life, to use me wherever I might be. But when we don't pray, you say, Lord, I can handle it by myself. I don't need you. That's why we need to pray, to humble ourselves before the Lord and call upon him and let him do the work in my life, in your life, in your circumstance, what you might be going through. There's a lot of sadness in this world, a lot of sadness, a lot of heartaches. Man, we go to a little choir. He lost a sister, and she had a little, well, she's not a little girl, but she was a, what's the word I want? Retarded? She's 30, maybe 30 years old. She's like a six-year-old child. Well, she died. Her mother died. Nobody knew about it. And then she died also. And they don't know why she died. But it's sad, you know? And but thank the Lord, the owner of the company, he's a great Christian. He knew that is, and no one else could take care of this little girl. No one could handle her, only her mother. So I believe the Lord just took her on home to be with her, the mother as well. But it says, the Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon him, to all that call upon him in truth. You know what we need today in our churches? We need revival. Ever before. Hey, this world, our country's not going to get any better. It's going to get worse under this socialism. And we're going to see some hard times, really hard times. But we got to learn how to call out on the Lord and ask him to help us through this thing. But I really believe the rapture is going to come soon. I don't think it's far away. But like I tell everybody, I'm looking for the uppertaker, not the undertaker. That's what I'm looking for. The Jesus coming soon. But he says here, the Lord has got an open ear. It says in the Word of God that he has an open ear to hear our cry. And when we cry out to him, what is that? He hears us. He hears our cry. He knows our burden. He knows our every need. But all he wants is come unto me. That's what he says. Come. Come to me. And he promised to give us his rest that as we come to him. The invitation always to come. And here's the next one. It says, we come to him in prayer with our needs. And he says, what is the Lord going to do? He will fulfill the desires of them that fear him. Or that word fear is not to be afraid, but to reverence him. And it's so important. This is a beautiful psalm. I just love this psalm of David of praise. But isn't it wonderful that we don't have to go to a priest to have our prayers answered? I think of when Martin Luther and Calvin and all those that stood up against the Pope, the Catholic Church, they were persecuted. A lot of them died for their faith. And that's why we have faith today. That's why we're what we are today. That's why we're Baptists today. Because they made a stand, Wingley and all those. But he says he will fulfill the desires of them that reverence him or fear him. He also will do what? What else he says he's going to do? Not only he's going to do what? He says, you bring your desires, he's going to hear you. Don't ever take, well, I don't know the Lord will really hear me on this big prayer request I got. But every prayer request is always has a Lord listening. He has a listening ear to hear our cry. And sometimes he says yes, sometimes he says wait, and sometimes he says no, but he will answer your prayer. Well, we like things done instantly, don't we? And sometimes it takes waiting on the Lord to do the work that he wants to do. And why does he allow us to wait sometimes? What do you think why he just wants us to wait before you answer prayers?
So we'll come back to him and pray and he can get the fellowship with us.
Yeah. It's a time to take, examine our own life, isn't it, too, as well. You know, as we wait, he says, Lord, I need you to work in my own personal life. Before the Lord can work in anybody else's life, he's got to work in your life first, you know. And that is so needed for all of us here. But he says, he will hear their cry and he will save them. He hears our cry. And here's a great promise for all of us here this morning that gives us hope beyond this situation we're in, this world that we live in. The Lord preserveth all them that what? What? Y'all can say it loud on that now. Love him. There you go. He's going to take care of God's people. I guarantee you. He knows us by name. I read in the Psalms not too long ago that he created all the stars. I don't know if you've seen the stars, but I know I couldn't count them all. But he created all the stars. You know what he says? He knows them all by name. Man, he's got a good memory, don't he? He don't forget anything. You can't hide anything. You can't throw anything under the rug whatsoever. It's all open. But you know what? It says he knows you by name. And he said he's written your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. Isn't that glorious? He knows us by name. He knows our weak points, our strong points, and where we mess up and where we fail. He knows it all. But he does hear our cry. He preserved all them that love him. And what's going to happen to the wicked? What's going to happen to the wicked? All these ungodly people living their own thing, doing their own thing. But all the wicked will he what? Destroy. There, I heard Dr. R.G. Lee say, a payday Sunday is coming for the ungodly. But aren't you glad that the Lord provides for us? He cares for you. He cares for this church. He wants you to press on toward the mark of the prize, high calling of God, Christ Jesus. And you know, it's so easy for us to look back in the past, where I was in the past, where I failed, where I did things I shouldn't have done. But Paul says, forgetting those things which are behind me and pressing toward what? The mark of the prize, the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And that's what he promised to us as God's people. What a great promise we have. Then look what he says. He says, my mouth shall speak the praise of the Lord. I like that again. I like that Lord all the way through this chapter. Man, just so much about the Lord there. And let all flesh do what? Bless his holy name. He's the only one that has a holy name, and that's the Lord. He is holy. And then it says, forever and ever. And what a great chapter this is. Here God used a shepherd boy, a man after God's own heart, and God used him in a mighty way to be a king of Israel. He wasn't always a perfect king. He messed up many times, but the Lord restored him, and he received the joy of the Lord in his life again. But it's so wonderful to know that it's the Lord. Look at this chapter. It's all about the Lord, his unspeakable, his greatness. It just goes right on down the line. The Lord is gracious. The Lord is compassionate. The Lord is good. The Lord upholdeth all. What a wonderful chapter. The Lord is good, is righteous. And the Lord is holy. The Lord is nigh unto them that call upon him. Isn't that wonderful? We call on him anytime we want to. We should call him every day. We should never leave the house without asking the Lord to go before us and use us where we're at. But that's just a wonderful promise. Anybody got any question about this chapter you'd like to ask? If I don't have the answer, I'll get my wife to answer it for you, okay? Anybody got a question you'd like to ask? It kind of clarifies itself, doesn't it? What a wonderful chapter. It's just a wonderful chapter. It really is. I read that often, and it just speak to me. And the Lord just said, share this with them. This is what they all need, and I need it too. It's got to speak to me before it can speak to you, and how true that is. But
I like the encouragement in there that we are to speak of how wonderful and great and mighty our Lord is.
Yes.
Just speak in our conversation with people.
Yeah.
Not making it a effort sort of like to witness, but it should just flow out of us how great and wonderful the Lord is. And you know this in your own life. And they'll sense that. People that don't know the Lord, they'll sense that. You know, there's something different there. You know, they talk about the Lord like they know him
yes.
personally. And that's a witness.
It is. Anybody else? Speak now, forever hold your peace. Okay. Well, we're going to sing this little chorus. I like this song. And this kind of goes along with this Psalm 147 we just read, and it's just a great psalm. But it goes like this. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me thy great salvation so rich and free. Let's bow in prayer. Lord, we love you and we thank you for your great love for all of us, Lord. We thank you that we can come and read your word and you can speak to us and draw us to yourself. We know that without you, we can do nothing. We need you every day. We love you and we thank you for your love for this church and the people here. And you know, we know you want to bless them and give them a pastor that you want them to have. And we just pray you just work in this area. And it says, trust in the Lord with all thy heart and lean not on thy own understanding, but in all thy ways acknowledge him. And he shall direct thy path. And we just commit it to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.